Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Right into kind of understand, why would Israel even pay attention to Egypt? Why would they even pay attention to Egypt? Because they just are getting their act together, which is a good direction, you know, with Sisi, president there, with Morsi not there anymore. And why would they be negotiating? And it's like, this is really huge. As John was talking to me yesterday about how relevant it was for Egypt to begin to enter back into that relationship with Israel and why Hamas turned it down. John, talk to us, man.
Well, yeah, you know, Egypt began to broker a deal with Hamas, between Hamas and Israel, for peace, and Israel accepted it, but Hamas rejected it. And the issue behind all of that is that you have to know the story behind the story. And not too long ago, you know, Hamas is allegedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. They occupy the Gaza Strip, and basically the Muslim Brotherhood became empowered in Egypt by our president. He went to Cairo, Egypt.
Well, he played a role in it. You know, he went to the Cairo speech and he invited reportedly 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood to that particular meeting.
Of which were outlawed in that country by then president.
Right. Of course, the president of Egypt didn't show up either, but right. The 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood did. And then he painted a picture how Islam invented math, you know, and and the language, human language or something, and that he was going to defend Islam, was it?
Stereotypes
of Islam, no matter where, as the president of the United States was going to. So I guess he kind of did.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, they say if a president just shows up, I mean, things change. Attention mm-hmm. goes there. Mm-hmm. And if the president showed up on the border right now with all these children, that the attention would go to the border. And I guess showing up in Cairo, giving a speech,
first international
president
speech.
Of Egypt not coming. 8 members of outlawed Muslim Brotherhood showing up, and mysteriously, they become president of Egypt. But not only that, we begin to remove any reference to radical Islam or Muslim Brotherhood in our FBI, CIA, according to Michelle Bachmann. Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay,
all right.
Get it?
I could see where somebody could draw the conclusion.
Yeah, bless
that, and I could see why that, according to Pat Robinson, that he has a 72% approval rating with American Muslims now. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see
makes
that.
Sense.
Although it's 52% of the population thinks it's doing a terrible job, 72% of American Muslims are just, you know, kind of pumped about that.
And they're happy about the whole situation.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, Hamas is an irritant right now in the Gaza, and they're financially been financially backed by others, but hugely financially backed by Iran, which we all know are haters of Israel and are enriching uranium for a nuclear weapon. But here's the deal. Well,
so you're even talking also about Iran, who wrote a letter to the president, and I'm sure that Valerie had to at some point touch it.
I'm sure.
Valerie Jarrett, you know, she's right there. I mean, this lady that has men bowing down to her on this little picture of her.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Maybe you can see it now. I don't know. Maybe they'll put it up. This is on her desk, and she is just the confidant of the president to the point that her job is, she says, is to go around Congress. And so not only, okay, you can say, okay, the president had the letter on his desk, but you know that Valerie saw that letter. And what letter am I talking about? According to even him later on, he talks about it. The Green Party in Iran during the Arab Springs, they wrote a letter to say, listen, you know, you were with Bobby and you were with Jennifer, you know, you helped out in Iraq. You helped out in this other places with the Arab Springs, you know, Bahrain or whatever it is. Can you come help us? And there was no response. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like sitting there like a bill laid on the desk of a president that becomes a law if he doesn't do anything after 10 days. It just sat there silently while people were being beat and women were being raped in the streets, why radical Islam was clamping down. And the Ayatollah was doing what they were doing, and Ahmadinejad was the president at that particular time, and they didn't respond at all. And then when you find out that Valerie was born there, I mean, you know, I was born in a place. I don't think much about the place that I was, you know. I mean, I think a lot about it, but I just don't. It's not on my mind a lot. But if I was born in Iran, I would pay attention to the Green Party writing, which was the people who saying, "Help us get out from under this religious oppression like you're doing these other." Right. And Valerie, not only did not the president not respond, but Valerie didn't respond to her quote own people where she was born to be able to say to the Iranian folks where, you know, she was probably very young and don't, you know, remember all that, I would guess, but she's obviously got some tight relationship there mm-hmm. because for some reason they didn't think it was worthwhile. But now you're saying that Iran is funding, I guess reports are, you know, mm-hmm. allegedly, you know, you didn't see their books or nothing, giving money to Hamas. The reports according to the IDF and Jerusalem Post says that these drones that they're seeing come over, mm-hmm. being launched from Hamas over Israel, are Iranian drones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just makes you wonder, well, was Valerie flying that drone?
It's occupied by 1.75 people. They don't make a lot of money. They don't.
How many?
Have 1.75 million.
But it's only three blocks, so it's pretty packed.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't even generate enough. So all their money has to come from outside sources, aid, charity, a one-time.
Boats from Turkey.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of stuff. At one time, according to Wikipedia, Saudi Arabia was financing them.
Yeah.
But it's only at a limited. It's only been here till the last recent years that Iran has really been inflating, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars into Hamas.
I would think about that if you look at the Islamic faith, and this is, what is the tax, the temple tax, the
jizya.
Yeah, jizya that you heard the president say, and you can go on the VF and Torch and hear him say it, that he's trying to get where the jizya can be tax deductible nonprofit so that somebody of the Muslim faith, it's Islamic, can, when they give their jizya, well, you know, a Christian would say, when I give my tithe to the Lord, mm-hmm. offerings and stuff, it's tax exempt.
Right.
But when they give their jizya to their temple, then it would be tax deductible. He said, I'm working on that. And the problem with that is...
Just a small problem.
This is a small
just
little problem.
Just a
problem.
Small problem.
But this may answer what's going on in Hamas. It's because part of it has to go to jihad. Mm-hmm. Part of that, that's the reason why they didn't get it passed yet.
Yeah.
Because part of it goes to war. It's not that they couldn't have a tax-exempt status, based on what I'm understanding, is the fact that you can't fund a war against America. And so, but think about, why would Saudi Arabia give money to Hamas? Could it be that's part of their jizya? That's their percentage? I think it's 1/6
it's
of the money.
It's part of charitable contributions. They have charitable contributions.
And they
that's
have to fund, and it is, you have to fund jihad accordingly. And so that would be funding jihad. So they would be loyal. You say, why does somebody seem bipolar in their responses? Well, it's not bipolar to somebody who believes that 1/6 or whatever percentage of it has to go to jihad.
And if you have a crew, if you will, if you have a team that's willing to step up to the plate and be militant and be that arm for you, why not fund them?
Right. Right, right. And so that would be probably according to their tenets of their faith.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's important to understand. Just don't call things crazy. It's like, this is kind of making jizza sense. Is it not?
Making sense out of dollars.
Because how is somebody so small getting so much money? They're the jihad factor.
Yeah.
Hamas is the jihad factor. Yeah. Hezbollah is the jihad factor. A percentage of our money, we got to go to orphans, we got to go to homeless, and we got to go to jihad.
Yeah.
Right?
While they can blame it on the Hamas, it's not us. It's Hamas.
Right, right. We just made we just gave them an offering. We had no idea what they were going to
do
with it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, okay. It's making sense now how you're connecting.
And understanding Hamas too, you know. And again, this is sourced by Wikipedia. They talk about the articles of their charter, and in Article 7, this is what reportedly it said.
There being Hamas's charter.
Correct.
According to the resources on Wikipedia.
Correct. The day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight the Jews, killing
what,
the Jews.
Say it again? Wait, what?
This is in their
charter of Hamas.
Article 7.
The ones that our president is saying you need to negotiate with.
Exactly.
The Palestinian government merged their government with.
Absolutely.
Can we read it slower? This is pretty big because what you just say?
The day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind the stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, O Muslim, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill me.
Pause and think. Selah.
Yeah.
So understand then the mindset of a loyalist to the Quran, to a radical Islam, is then chaos, war, bloodshed, battle is what brings their savior back.
yeah,
out of the Mecca hole, and the 12th Iman, and so then they see that this is how they actually please their God by killing God's chosen folks, mm-hmm, killing Jews and, yeah, Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's more.
So, but think about this. Let's pause for a moment then. So then a rock, they're saying that a rock will go, hey, look under this rock. Mm-hmm. There's Pat, right?
Yeah. Kill him.
And so this is their driving force. So if anybody ever told me, hey, you need to go have a cup of coffee and negotiate a peace treaty with somebody who's trying to kill me, you actually are for their annihilation,
yeah,
of me, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to get me to, it's like, you know, Mrs. Hamas and Mr. Jew, it's like, y'all need to get married. It's like, it's not going to be a good marriage. Mm-mm. She's going to try to annihilate you.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be bad. No, just get along. You know, y'all could work out a peace treaty. Go to marriage counseling. Hamas can never marry and will never marry Israel. And Israel would actually allow Arabs to live, and they do, in Israel, with the most freest Arabs in the Middle East. Reports are definitely the most freest Muslims in the Middle East live in Israel because it's a democracy. It's free.
Yeah.
So, okay, I mean, this is huge what you're saying here.
Yeah, they're charter.
So these ones firing these missiles, that's their charter.
That's their end game.
So it makes sense why they're firing
their
the missiles.
End game. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The charter continues to say, and this was issued in 1988, and it basically outlines the organization's position on some issues.
Hamas's.
It identifies that Hamas as the Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine, and declares its members to be Muslims who, quote, fear God and raise the banner of jihad in the face of oppressors, end quote. The charter states that our struggle against the Jew is very great and very serious, and calls for the eventual creation of an Islamic state in Palestine in place of Israel and the Palestinian authorities, and the obliteration or dissolution of Israel.
So wait a minute. So you're talking about ISIS is doing that.
Yeah.
So if you bring ISIS together with the Far East, ISIS with Syria and Iraq, and you come all the way here to the Far West to Palestinians and Hamas and Palestinians, they'd want to make that whole, that's Palestine to them.
Not just that, but Hamas now wants to take the, if they take the West Bank with the Palestinian Authority,
which is on the east side of Israel.
Right. Their idea is to occupy that, and to, while they occupy it, completely take Israel completely out. It's not like I want to take that piece of land and say we want to live in peace as neighbors. No, their end game is we want to occupy that land because eventually we're going to push you out of the rest of Israel.
And they feel they have to kill the Jews and the Christians, or quote, the infidels, so that their savior will come back. The 12th Iman will come back out of Mecca. That's why they walk around that hole. Hopefully there'll be a related article on this, that you cannot respect Jesus. You actually have to make him the Lord of your life. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Erkin Kenner said that. Mm-hmm. That's their end game. This is their playbook. Kill the Jew, take over the land, and basically eradicate them. So now when Egypt comes in to broker this deal, you figure, well, what's, you know, okay, why would you not do that? Well, don't forget that it was the Muslim.
Why would Hamas not go in? Because Israel said, yeah, this is great.
Hey, we'll do it, no problem.
Yeah.
Understand that the Muslim Brotherhood basically had Mubarak, who was the president of Egypt for 30 years, had him removed. They had elections in which...
Well, and he actually outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood. It was illegal to actually activate and be the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt up until that point.
Right.
Up until the Cairo speech.
Interesting.
Up until the Cairo speech of the president. Whoa.
Yeah. And shortly after that, Mubarak was removed, put on trial. They had an election.
And John Paul Jackson prophesied in 2008. He said, when you see the president of Egypt go down, it all begins.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's 2008 when he prophesied that. So it wasn't these. And it happened. It all began to happen. Dominoes once.
Just like the prophetic word came out. Yep. That was the beginning of the prophetic
storm. Which
shows
you God's in control.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So he's removed. They have elections. And guess what? A Muslim Brotherhood candidate wins, Morsi, and he gets into office. Well, as a result of him being into office, several things dramatically change, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, which again is all connected to
persecution
to Hamas.
Of Jews and Christians. When Morsi's in, immediately Jezza started getting paid.
Churches began being torched. Christians began persecuted, mm-hmm. and their constitution
crucified.
Well, Yeah. Their constitution was thrown out, suspended, and they were trying to implement Sharia law.
Which is the ultimate goal of the Muslim Brotherhood. They believe that you got to crank it up, max it out, and make a caliphate.
Yeah.
That's their goal, yeah.
1 year almost to the date that Morsi, which is a Muslim Brotherhood candidate, was elected president, the people in Egypt revolted. They you know...
Well, they were shocked at us. They were shocked that we actually participated.
That's next.
Okay.
they got him out, and in the streets, one of the largest presentations, we may even have a picture available for you, but they're in the streets with banners and posters saying, we love Americans, but the president supports terrorism. Obama is supporting terrorism.
Which is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. And according to Michelle Bachmann, actually, Hillary Clinton's personal assistant is the daughter of one of the leaders. Uma.
That's her name, Uma.
Uma is the daughter of one of the strong leaders of mother and father, strong leader in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Brother and sisterhood, yeah.
Yeah, and then they had, according to Michelle Bachmann, removed every reference to Muslim Brotherhood and then brought one of the members on the advisory committee for Homeland Security. I mean, we are in covenant.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord has shown, and I don't have the source of that, but a covenant in the basement of the White House was shown, and obviously not the basement, just how God shows things, made a covenant with the Muslim Brotherhood. Turkey's done it. Palestinians have done it. We tried to do it. The leaders tried to do it to Egypt, mm-hmm. but they said, no, we're not going to have it. Which shows you, if we stand up like Egyptians did and say, no, and we can do that. We are actually in a democracy. We're not trying to work our way towards a democracy. They're trying to work us out of one. And so we can stand up. John is talking with us, and we're talking about the Middle East. How does this make sense? Why would Israel push pause and say, let's go with this peace deal out of Egypt? And it's really making sense now.
Yeah.
Really making sense.
You really have to understand the story behind the story. Things don't just happen, especially in the Middle East. There's a ton of context that, you know, brings you to the point of where we are today. And so we're at the point now where the Egyptian people have the largest protest, I think, anywhere in the world. And they actually remove the Muslim Brotherhood from power after just 1 year of being in power. Mm. They arrest the Muslim Brotherhood. They get Morsi out of the presidency.
Sentence some to death.
Oh, yes. Sentence some to death, people. For sure. And the persecution and the killing of the Christians and just Sharia.
And they said, why did the president, we know that America, what was the banner say that they had up?
Egyptians love Americans. I believe that Obama supports, your Obama is supporting terrorism.
Terrorism. And because we helped support put a Muslim Brotherhood leader into power. Why, by the way, when Secretary of State came over to negotiate with Hamas, understand her assistant, they knew her, we didn't know who her assistant was really, but they knew who her assistant was because her assistant, Uma, reports are that she is the daughter of two, her mother and father both were large leaders in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
The reports are.
Yeah, her father in the Brotherhood and her mother in the Sisterhood. Father is now deceased.
I mean, how would that make you feel? You know who that person is. Nobody knows. And then all of a sudden the Secretary of State shows up, but she knows she's showing up. Everybody else knows this person, they aren't listening to Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching Uma, and they're thinking, like, we better be good because she conquered, he's dead. Ha ha. That's what happened in Libya, right?
More Gaddafi, yeah.
More Gaddafi. And so you would be focusing on Uma if you're, because you know the Muslim Brotherhood, they're illegal here, and her daughter is right there. We brought their enemy's daughter right there in their faces. Dear Lord, have mercy on America. You know, forgive us, God, for what we've done. And so you're seeing how significant that was when she was negotiating there, which obviously
didn't work.
You think of that she made a, you know, when she went around most travel secretary of the in recent history, and you think, well, she caused a lot of problems. But if you understand Saul Alinsky, she may have just set the world up for a transition be fundamentally transformed with George Soros, which believes in a global society with no walls, who is her head, reports are that her head financial person on her steering committee for a potential a future in leadership in America. I mean, they're looking at the world here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at, I'm just thinking about how it had to look, because they're saying right here, as you can see this picture on your screen, The Egyptians are saying Egyptians love Americans, but your Obama is supporting terrorism. Now, I understand.
Yeah, and those are one of the nicer banners. There were other banners that we can't even display, but they were showing their true heartfelt concern. These are citizens.
We have a law that says we will not negotiate with terrorists.
That's right.
Maybe if we just don't call them terrorists anymore, then, you know, we just won't call you a terrorist. We'll change a new narrative over you. We won't call the Muslim Brotherhood dangerous.
Nor do we financially
We'll call
back
them partners. We'll call them partners.
Yeah.
We'll put them on our homeland security.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's making sense now.
Yeah. So they remove Morsi almost one year to the date that he was elected, and they decide to...
So they remove the Muslim Brotherhood.
Remove the Muslim Brotherhood. They want to have open... Right. They want to have open elections. And in this process of bringing stability back to Egypt and to that border with Israel and Gaza, they elect one of the generals, which is el-Sisi. I think it's his full name is, we'll get it for you, Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. And the
I just call him CC's because it makes me that pizza joint called CC's Pizza.
But the military has always been used to bring stability. I mean, in that area when they removed Mubarak first, so they now they get this new president.
The peace treaty. Because if you would have been watching BFN TV, you would have known that when they came to attack way back when to attack Israel, Israel took over all of Egypt and they gave it back to them.
Sure did.
They just said, "Here you go. Okay, we won't do that no more. Let's just sign a peace treaty." And so they maintained that peace treaty. After that, they didn't take their land from them because they wanted to. They actually attacked them, and they had to take it, but they gave Egypt back. Think about that. Israel gave it back, and so now,
and
then
for
the peace
30
treaty.
Years,
30 they, years.
They had peace on that border,
yes.
And I'm sure it doesn't hurt that America has given Egypt $1.3 billion every year to help keep peace there, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But so now you have a new president who wants nothing to do with the Muslim Brotherhood. Doesn't want Hamas to be empowered so
in Egypt.
In Egypt, right. But Gaza's right there. I mean,
their northern border is Gaza.
Yeah, their northern border. So, you know, essentially, Hamas wasn't going to go for it. They realized that they had there was no room for them in that whole negotiation process.
Right.
But the interesting enough is that Hamas controls the Gaza Strip. This is the same.
Well, the Palestinian government merged with Hamas. So you have Abbas and Hamas.
Right.
Abbas and Hamas. Wow. Abbas and Hamas. So both of them together. Yes.
Yeah. So exactly that. So now if that Palestinian Authority is recognizing the West Bank, which it would already have happened if the Palestinian Authority would have recognized that Israel is their own Jewish state. I mean, they want Israel to pray.
They refuse to acknowledge Israel. Yes.
They want Israel to break a piece of the bread, but they want to deny the bread it actually their piece is coming from.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, you think about it. So the Palestinian leader, Abbas, says, you know, we'll work with Israel. We'll acknowledge Israel. But then they immediately merge with Hamas. And they knew they merged with the narrative that said, we will never acknowledge Israel.
Exactly.
So they made their decision when they merged to Hamas that they still are the same folks that they were all along.
Yeah. And to the detriment, really, of Israel, the whole world ignores this plain to see reality that this is not going to happen.
Right.
And now that the narrative changes, if that was the case, the narrative changes not to just Israel being surrounded and fighting enemies all across their borders, but if the Palestinian state becomes recognized, Israel will be fighting its enemies within its own country, in the South Gaza and in the West Bank in the north, and they're right in the middle of it. It's just not going to happen. Hamas wants to destroy Israel, and Israel wants to just live in peace.
So you think about so that was a big deal for Egypt to negotiate a ceasefire, and with this attack on Israel, their defensive measures to stop the continual attacks on them. And why Israel said yes, because they're used to a 30-year peace treaty they had with this probably General Sisi, who's now President Sisi. And they probably have a great relationship with him, their military forces. And you see why Hamas is going like, you just sentenced some of us to death. You just arrested one of our big leaders, Morsi. So you can see why it's like, this is a positive sign that if Israel and President Sisi are beginning to see where they can have a relationship, those two relationships can be a powerful,
absolutely,
you know, a positive force, you know, in the Middle East. Which means this, by the way, America, It means that Muslim Brotherhood did not give up Israel. Our Muslim Brotherhood did not give up Egypt, I mean. They lost it to a people who stood up and said, this is against us. This is not for us. You're trying to destroy us. And they stood up, and yet they're not even a democracy. And they stood up, and the people heard themselves, and they responded, and they did what was right. What does that mean? We are a democracy in America. You can stand up. It's not illegal for you to stand up and be loyal to the Constitution. You have a right to stand up and say, you know, we have a right to exist. We have a right to our opinions. We have a right to go back to the original tent of our nation. We have a right to say, if the Muslim Brotherhood was dangerous and a wants to destroy the people of Egypt, wants to destroy anybody who's not a Muslim, if it wants to destroy Israel, then we have a huge evidentiary reality to say, we don't need them in our homeland security, at least. Hmm. We don't need them. We definitely got to leave the references to these different activities where they've done these harm. And they were illegal in Syria. They were illegal in Egypt because they did so much violence. Mm-hmm. It was just terrible what they've done. And what you're seeing happen in Turkey, there's a big embrace, reports are, according to CBN, that he's embraced the Muslim Brotherhood. And so this is a big Muslim Brotherhood movement, which is they have five pillars, I believe it is, to it. And one of them is, you know, they want a caliphate. They just want, they believe that, and you can go find out, Muslim Brotherhood 101, I believe it's called. And we'll make it related. Torch explains a little simple whiteboard drawing. But their goal is they believe that if everything gets under the Quran and that becomes law and every other law is gone, then everything's going to be better, they believe. Unless you're a Jew, unless you're a Christian, it's not going to be good for you. But just giving you a little update in what happened just in the last few hours in Israel. Around 2:15 a.m. Eastern time, Hamas terrorists were found in an underground tunnel, and the IDF attempted to attack Israel, but the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, they found them and they neutralized them. I have to look that word up. That means. At 3 a.m. Eastern, the UN requested and agreed upon both sides temporarily cease fire between Israel and Hamas to begin. This should last about 5 hours to be able to bring aid in. I want to say this, Pat, if you could make that available on our viewers right here, and to see the aid that Israel has been doing. So the UN saying to bring aid in. This is what Israel has done since then. Notice this. Since the beginning of Operation Protective Edge, Israel has brought into Gaza 1,624 tons of gas, 3,854 tons of flour, 6,422,969 gallon liters of gasoline, 31 trucks of medical supplies, and 11,441 tons of other food products. Look at that while we're talking. Look at this. And so the narrative that's being put out there is the UN has to come in and bring aid. But that's what,
Israel has done on
their own as of July the 17th at 4 p.m. their particular time. And so, but they're pausing to bring in some aid there. At 5:55 a.m., another report, a ceasefire proposal by Egypt will go into effect this Friday starting at 6 a.m. That's the report, which is tomorrow, I think. And at 6 a.m. Eastern time, rocket siren, which would be today, maybe, rocket sirens begin to sound off as more missile fire was coming in. And at 7 a.m. Eastern time, a moment after the temporary ceasefire ended, they began immediately. Code red sirens begin to go off and missiles begin to come again. This makes sense when you understand what John was talking about, what we're talking about, that this is, they're just going to continue to do this because they believe that this is how they bring back their God. This is how they bring back their 12th Iman. And who they say in the Quran, and you need to see the comparison between the Quran and the Bible at the VFN Torch, but they say that, you know, Jesus is going to come back, that he is a prophet, that you can't, quote, respect him, but he has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God, and that he will be the assistant to the one who comes out of that hole in Mecca, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. It's written there. And so that's what's happening in Israel. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.